just tell him right to me because I get to pick him. So I love that one because it just does such a wonderful, evocative way of naming God in ways that we don't usually. So let's pray together. Living Word, we thank you and praise you that you still have so many things to say to us. Speak, and we will try to hear them. By your word this day, by the reading and hearing of it, may your Spirit guide us into all truth, that our lives might glorify you, and that we would walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of him who is our strength and our salvation. Amen. So on this Trinity Sunday, the Old Testament lesson comes to us from the book of Proverbs. We don't read from Proverbs very often. I keep looking that way because I'm used to the screen being right there. Okay, so that's what's happening. But today it's Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 4, and then 22 through 31. It's on page 454 in your pew Bibles, but I'm reading this one from the New Living Translation because I like it a little bit better. So now let us hear the word of God. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. The Lord formed me from the beginning before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters. Before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born, before he had made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas, so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. And here ends the lesson from Proverbs. The lesson from the gospel. We're looking at Jesus, continuing to look at Jesus' farewell address to his disciples. And so today we're in three verses in chapter 16. It's verses 12 through 15. And this one is from the New International Version, but it's on page 765 and here. So Jesus was talking to his disciples before going to Calvary. And he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to my Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Here ends the lesson from the gospel. And finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament on Trinity Sunday comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's page 798 and here. Paul the Apostle wrote to the Roman church, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And here ends a lesson from Romans. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whoops. Trinity Sunday. So, it's the only Sunday of the church year that we focus on a doctrine instead of a teaching of Jesus or an event in Jesus' life. So when you follow the Revised Common Lectionary for your preaching rhythm, as I do, and many pastors I know do the same thing, we get to take this one Sunday out of the year, and we get to focus on a doctrine, on a theological point, instead of an event in Jesus' life. It's been celebrated for about 1,000 years. A pope about 1,000 years ago said, do this, right? Do I have to? Do we have to? No. the Tim's and the choice of sermon texts are up to me, right? But I think it's really instructive to focus for one Sunday a year on this doctrine, on the doctrine of the Trinity. Not because I think in doing it we can explain it, because the Trinity is unexplainable, right? But because it gives us a chance to talk about, to explore the nature of God, who God is, and because we are made in God's image, who we are. I like the fact that when we're talking about Trinity Sunday, so are the Methodists up the road and the Lutherans down the road and the Episcopalians around the corner and probably St. Andrew's Church up on the hill. Somebody said to me a couple weeks ago that he reads a Catholic devotional sometimes. And he thought it wonderful that he went home from church and he read the devotional and it was on the same text that we'd been studying together in worship. So I love how that makes us part of the community of faith. So this isn't a day to try and explain the unexplainable. I read this week that somebody said about the Trinity, you'll lose your soul if you don't believe it, and you'll lose your mind if you try and explain it. Okay, so I don't think that not believing in the Trinity, that's difficult for me about losing your soul, but trying to explain the Trinity is sort of a mind thing, all right? So it's too easy to try to reduce God to fill our mind. So that's not the purpose of this sermon. St. Augustine, the story is told of him that he was puzzling over the doctrine of the Trinity, and he was walking along the beach one day, and he saw a little boy with a bucket, and he had the bucket kind of up above the tide line, and he was running back and forth to put water into a little hole. And so Augustine asked, what are you doing? Because he dug a hole and he was running back and forth between from the tide, you know. And the little boy said, well, I'm trying to put the ocean into this hole. Okay, and so Augustine, it said of Augustine that he realized then that what he'd been trying to do was exactly what that little boy was doing. Try and put an infinite God into his finite mind. So, but we're still going to talk about it, all right? So sometimes with the kids' message, we say, well, you know, the Trinity is like ice. It's like water, right? It's like three forms of water, ice and water and steam. Or it's like a person because, so I'm Piper, but I'm a daughter and I'm a mom. And I'm a wife and I'm a sister, so I have different ways to talk about who I am. But I think the point of today is to reflect on the majesty and mystery of God, that the hymn that we sang, Holy, 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 that names the majesty and mystery of God, and therefore, from each of us. So the scripture texts today each give us a different image, a different picture of God. We're going to focus first on the one from Proverbs. Proverbs gives us a picture of wisdom. It's very cool that in this passage, the articles, it's a feminine word, right? It's a feminine concept. We don't see the feminine side of God very often, but God is without gender, right? We think of God as a father, but I was reading some really cool article this week, and it was talking about when you close your eyes and see God, who do you see? You know, what's the picture that you see? And a lot of us see an old bearded white guy, right? A lot of us do. But the woman whose article I was reading, and I didn't keep it, and I'm sorry now, she does not see an old bearded white guy. She sees a wonderfully round, energetic black woman who laughs all the time. Okay, and so that was kind of eye-opening for me because that's not the picture I have in my mind of God, but it sure could be, right? So in this passage from Proverbs, the articles are feminine. We're talking about a she, okay? And whoever this wisdom is, this one was present and active at creation, delighting in the surprising ways of God and God's world. Proverbs says that wisdom was with God daily. It sounds a lot like Genesis 1. So I wonder, did the person who wrote this passage from Proverbs 8, did they know Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, right? It sounds a lot like that. Wisdom, as Proverbs describes her, is part of the fabric of creation. So she rejoices, she creates, she delights in bubbling springs and roaring waterfalls and towering mountains and flowering fields. and all the abundance of the creatures that God made, and human beings in all their God-created goodness. So I think the message we're supposed to take away from this text about wisdom is that because God created us in God's own image, we best reflect God's image, God's nature, when we too delight in the miracle and wonder of God's creation. One of my brothers is coming up. Both of my brothers are coming up here for our son's wedding next month, and they got to come last September when our daughter was married, but they were both teachers, so they stayed like about 4 days. And this time that brother is not teaching anymore, so he's staying for 2 weeks plus, okay? And so I've been sending him emails like, what do you want to do? And naming all this stuff. And my brother Preston said he wants to see a grizzly bear up close, which I'm kind of not there with him. He wants to see a moose, which is really easy, right? He wants to see one of those white whales with a head like a person. So I think he means a beluga, right? Okay. And he wants to see the mountains and the ocean and Alaska's beauty. And he wants to drink Jameson's with Paul for some reason. Okay. So, you know, probably all of those things we can accomplish. We can at least go to the Wildlife Conservation Center in Seward, right? Or we can drive around Eaglewood and see mama moose and babies, right? But Preston, that brother, is very, very eager to see the beauty of God's creation, to delight in it, the way the wisdom text so beautifully tells us. So we best reflect God's image and God's nature when we too delight in the miracle and wonder of God's creation, by caring for it, tending it, and rejoicing in it. There's an old story that the rabbis told that said that before our world was created, the Holy One, God, kept creating worlds and destroying them. Finally, he created this one, and God was satisfied. And so he said, God said to Adam, "This is the last world that I'm going to make. I place it in your hands. Hold it in trust for me." The best way, one of the best ways that we reflect God's image, God's nature, is to care for the earth and steward it and tend it and rejoice in it together in God, who is the author and creator of all, and in the majesty and wonder of the created world. So that's the picture we get from wisdom, from Proverbs 8. The picture we see in John's gospel is different. It's very different because John is a theologian, right? But on some levels, it's the same. In the picture in wisdom in Proverbs, we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit inextricably connected. And that's the picture that we get from John's gospel too. An old image of the Trinity is three interlocking connected circles. Because at the deepest level of God's nature, God is community, communal. God is relationship. We can't separate the Father from the Son from the Holy Spirit. God lives in relationship. If the deepest nature of our one God is to be in relationship, then at heart, when we reflect God's image, we are in relationship. Together, we are so much more than we are separately. Lone Ranger faith is not an option. The reason we could do 140 person hours of work this week in here and out there, that's not in countering the 8 hours that Lloyd spent yesterday outside, or the 8 hours Emily spent last week working outside, right? Or Deborah, how many hours were you out weeding the garden this week? A lot, okay? So I didn't even take into account those hours. The only reason that we could spend those 200 hours, now I'm up to, is because we all worked together. At our deepest level, we are connected with each other. I know I've told this story before, but when I go on to pastor camp to Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center in Santa Cruz every year after Easter, I'm in a redwood forest, right? And so every afternoon or most afternoons, I get ice cream and then I go walk in the forest, or, you know, I walk in the forest first and then I get ice cream or whatever. But the redwoods are towering. Some of them are Well, they're all centuries old. There's one that's close to being 2,000 years old. But the reason the redwoods can go so strong and tall isn't what you would think, is that their root system is so far down, right? The root system is interconnected. And you don't have to go down very far before you find the root system of a tree that's across the canyon. And you find the DNA of one tree a half a mile away, because the root systems are interconnected and they draw sustenance and support from each other. We best reflect God's image when we reflect that relationship, that interconnectedness. Now, does this mean that we're not called to have an individual relationship with Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. When I was a girl, we had a specific way and a specific language to talk about it. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Right? That was the way I learned to talk about my faith. Does that mean that's the only way to talk about Jesus or my relationship with Him? Absolutely not. But God calls us and wants to spend time with us, each of us individually. I read this cool story on Facebook, so it must be true. Right? But it was about a pediatric nurse who, when she went into an office to listen to somebody's heart, a little patient's heart, before she put the stethoscope on the child's chest, and before she put the ear thingies in her own ears, she put the ear thingies in the kid's ears, right? And so she went into an office once, and there was this little four-year-old boy, and he was kind of scaredy looking. And so she put the stethoscope on his chest, and then she put the earpieces in his ears. And there was just this kind of minute of, what's up? And then he just broke into a big grin. And so she took him out and she said, you know, what did you hear? And he thought a minute and he said, I think I heard Jesus knocking. So that little boy clearly had some conversations with somebody, a parent or a pastor, about Jesus living inside of him. When my children were little, one of them could locate Jesus very specifically at a very specific point in that kid's belly. This is right where Jesus lives, right here, okay? So I don't know if you talk to that kid now, if that's how they would put it, but. So are we expected to have some kind of personal relationship with our Savior? Absolutely. But we also have that relationship in context with each other and connected with each other. So that means that on days when I am just not feeling it, and I can't remember the last time that I felt a personal connection with God, all of you are here to bear me up and to ask me how I'm doing and to hold me accountable. At our deepest level, we are connected with each other and we reflect the image of God. One of the best images of the Trinity is this very ancient icon. It's Rublev's icon. He's a Russian iconographer. This is from the 15th century. So you see that there's these three figures. The one on the left, they all look alike, but they have different colors on. So the one on the left wears gold, see? So that's supposed to be the Father. The one in the middle is wearing blue. That's the Son. And the Holy Spirit is on the right. The Spirit is green. The Father's looking at the Son. The Son's gazing back at the Father, but he's gesturing towards the Spirit. And the Spirit is looking at the Father, but he's pointing towards the Son with one hand, and with the other, he's opening up the circle, right? They're sharing a meal together. That looks to me like a chalice, right? Or a plate you would put holy bread on. But do you see that the circle isn't closed? There's a place for somebody else to sit there, for us to sit. We reflect God's image when we're connected with each other and when we make space for others to experience that same connectedness, that same relationship. So finally, I want to talk about Romans for a minute. And Psalm 8. Trinity is the glory that we see in the heavens. This is the Andromeda Nebula. Isn't it cool? The psalmist, Psalm 8, that Sue Ellen read to you, begins his or her psalm by saying, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at the heavens, the work of your hands. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we that God knows who we are? And yet, the psalmist says, you've made human beings just a little lower than the angels. So the picture of the Trinity I want you to keep in your minds is this is God who keeps giving himself to us over and over and over until we are filled up and poured out with love for God and each other. So today's Father's Day. Some of us get to eat with our dads. Some of us get to talk to our dads. Some of us don't. This is the first year that I haven't bought a Father's Day card to put in the mail. Because Paul's father died last November, and my father died the April before. So I went to the store to buy a Father's Day card for my husband, but I only bought one. And so some of us get to talk to our fathers, or if we're dads, we get to talk to our kids. Some of us trust that our fathers are held close in the arms of God. But I think for most of us, if we were blessed to have a dad who taught us how to love, when we think of love, we think of our dads. And for those of us who don't have that blessed, blissful relationship with our dads, we know that we have God, our Father, who teaches us how to be dads. Because God's nature is to be grounded in love. Paul the Apostle says that he's talking to the Roman church about how to live following Jesus. And he says that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So that means that we are empowered to have peace in God, which results in God's love being poured out into our lives by God's Holy Spirit. So that we can live transformed lives in the church and in the world out there. I talked a couple weeks ago about my frustration with the term evangelical and how it's it leaves a bad taste in some people's mouths, in a lot of people's mouths. But in the best sense of the word, and it frustrates me because I identify myself as an evangelical Christian, as an evangelical who follows Jesus Christ. But in the best sense of the word, what evangelical means when we're talking about churches or people, it means that we try to live Christ-centered lives that are based in God's word and that we are committed to spiritual and social transformation. So in the best sense of that word, I think evangelical is Trinitarian. I want to reclaim that word. Because we do base our lives on the Word of God, and we try to keep Christ at the center of our lives, and we are committed to spiritual and social transformation, or else we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing. We'd just be going to the Rotary meeting down the street. And the only proper response to the glory and majesty of God, who created everything that is, and each of us a little lower than the angels. The only proper response on Trinity Sunday and on the other 51 other Sundays of the year, right, is praise. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, connected in relationship, so that we can be connected and in relationship with each other, and God's Holy Spirit will transform each of us and God's world. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Alleluia. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, giver of all good things, for our home on earth and your unfailing mercy, we give you thanks. Christ, our Redeemer, for your sacrifice on the cross and rising from the dead that we might live, we give you thanks and praise. Holy Spirit, giver of life, for your abiding presence in our lives and for comforting and guiding us, we give you thanks, praise, and glory. the triune God, to you be thanks and praise and glory now and forever. Amen.